Parasocial relationship is a one-sided relationship where one person, which is normally like an audience member, feels a strong connection to a public figure, a podcaster, celebrity, an influencer, a fictional character, but there's no direct interaction.
But it's not something that's going to happen overnight, and there's this consistency to it, and you have to engage with the other person. You cannot just consume and then expect to build a relationship from nothing.
I think that's the danger of these parasocial relationships. People are so desperate to connect, desperate to make their next sale, that they're not actually interested in building a relationship.
Before we start this podcast, I've got one little favor to ask you. Can you please hit the subscribe button down below so we can help more people every single week? Thank you. Welcome to the Right Place podcast. My name is Rudolf Rautenbach, and as always, I've got John Watson with me. John, how's it going on your side?
Going great, Rudolf. Nice weather here in Cape Town. Really enjoying February. And your side?
No, all good. Bit cooler today than always, but it's been such a hectic few weeks, and I mean, the year's just flying past, and as you can see, I'm not sitting in my regular studio because of all the busyness around me. But we can't complain. I think the fact is that you complain if you're too busy, and then sometimes we complain if we don't have anything to do as well. So there's never a perfect moment, and that's just the way we are made. But yeah, I'm very happy to be busy and active and doing a lot of things that I like, and also working hard for a change, my wife would say. John, we had a chat during the week, and you came up with a very interesting topic for discussion today. So I want to dig into that brain of yours and find out what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, thanks, Rudolf. I heard this term probably a couple of months ago called parasocial relationships. I think I first heard it on the Expansive podcast, and it's been something that's been quite fascinating. And a parasocial relationship is a one-sided relationship where one person, which is normally like an audience member, feels a strong connection to a public figure, a podcaster, celebrity, an influencer, a fictional character, but there's no direct interaction. So these relationships are common in media-driven societies like we live in nowadays, with AI and social media kind of taking over the whole world, and they have both positive and negative effects. And we've just concluded our series, The CEO Playbook, where we looked at roles, relationships, and environments. And I thought maybe there's a bit of a different angle to look at parasocial relationships. Is it something that you've heard of before?
No, it's definitely not. I think it's a rather new term in my view. But what was interesting is that as you pitched this word to me, I got reminded about this prefix called para. So there's a lot of places where we use it, Paralympics, and a lot of places where para is at the front of a word. And I was always wondering, what is this word? What does it mean? What does it actually represent? Because in this case, it's parasocial. And if you go and Google it, I suppose you'll find that it talks about being next to or adjacent to or alongside. So it's almost like if you look at parasite again, it's always something that is not necessarily part of a bigger group or part of something, but alongside it, and it walks with it, it goes with it. And if I look at the word parasocial from that angle, I was thinking to myself that if you are not social, but rather parasocial, it is a bit of a paradox and anticlimax. It's not really social because this other person doesn't actually know about you. You're actually not necessarily in his space, but from your point of view, you are. And thus you are parasocial. You are not necessarily social. You're not necessarily connected or linked, but you join this person by just being in his ambit, in his environment, or following him keenly. And that is actually quite an interesting concept to me, and which I suppose has a lot of risks and a lot of potential issues that might come with it. And not necessarily all good things.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's something that's quite unique in our day and age. I don't think there were necessarily parasocial relationships in the 1800s. If you knew someone and you hung out with them or they were a family member, you had a direct relationship. Now, because we live in this global village where everyone is connected through social media and LinkedIn and Instagram, you have these almost one-sided relationships where people develop an emotional attachment to someone, be it a podcaster, a celebrity, and you dial them, you follow them, you consume their content, you watch their videos, and you feel you've got a relationship with them. And there's this illusion of reciprocity. So the relationship is one-sided. The celebrity or the person that you consume the content of, they don't know you exist. They might see you as one of their 5 billion followers. But the individual consuming the content or watching the stuff knows, feels that they know that person. I know Joe Rogan, or I know Darren Lee, or I know exactly what they're about. I'm an expert on this person because I see them. And I think that's a danger where we feel we know these people that we are watching on a daily basis or a regular basis, but they don't know anything about you. And I think that's something that we want to explore today. And I think over time, these types of people, they give you this comfort, this motivation, and a sense of belonging. But you can also have unrealistic expectations. You can also have a dependency on them. And that dependency on a virtual relationship isn't always a good thing.
Yeah, it's very interesting that how we can insert ourselves sometimes in someone else's life. I get reminded of a story in Afrikaans on TV years ago. There was this thing called Sevende Laan that everyone knew about. And I think it was quite a hit back in the day. But there was a character in that series or in the story that decided to go out of it to end her association with Sevende Laan because she drove on a distant road somewhere. Someone was in an accident and she stopped to help. And as she approached, they actually recognized her and started talking to her as if she's the character of the story and fighting with her about things that she's done as this character and not necessarily things that happened in her real life. And she realized that people are so invested in the story that she cannot actually be herself. People don't know her. And she wanted out. She wanted out of the story. And I'm using this story because that is exactly what we do. We get to a point where we think we know, but the other person has no say in the relationship or doesn't know about the relationship, even worse. And thus we get to a point where we want to dictate how the relationship should work, even though there's nothing happening yet. It is actually not a relationship. And I think that there's a lot of things that we can do better to ensure that people understand who we are as a person. And luckily for me and you, from a podcast point of view, we can talk. It's not like we have a script or we have this facade or something that we have to pretend of being. We can just talk nonsense sometimes, but we can just be ourselves and people get to know us. And I think through social media, it happens a lot that we get to this point where we share a photo of us being on holiday or being somewhere. And then when you get to a braai and you meet this person, they're like, oh, yeah, no, I know you've been there and you've done this. And they suddenly associate because they've seen it on social media. And we do not go through the process of getting to know the person anymore. And that to me is the sad part in that. Because we see something or we read a very short paragraph on a post, we almost assume that we know the person, but we have never really interacted and we never went through the trouble of getting to know the other person on the other side.
No, 100%. I think it's an interesting place to be. It can be a good place to be that you can see people and see what they're about before you meet them. But it can also be a bad thing. Because you make up all these assumptions, you know the person, you know what they're about, and you've taken that photo or that social media posts out of context. I think what's dangerous is that we fill that, you know, that we fill our lives with these virtual relationships, and there isn't any space for one-on-one relationships. And I mean, that's the point of our podcast, about helping people find their right place and learning from other people how they found their right place. And we've been discussing this year that your right place is at the intersection of your role, relationships, and environments. And maybe we need to just reflect on our parasocial relationships to understand, well, is it taking away from my role? Is it affecting my in-person, real-life relationships? And am I in this environment that's not good for me? So we've got some discussion questions that we want to reflect on for roles, relationships, and environments. And Rudolf, I think the first one is quite interesting because we are both consumers of content and we are creating content as well. So we consume what we watch on YouTube and LinkedIn, and we might have our own parasocial relationships with people. But we're also content creators. We've got a podcast, we post it on LinkedIn, we're active on WhatsApp and whatever other social media channels. So do you think most people use their online networks and their online presence for learning and growth, or are they just passive consumers? And then how can we shift from consuming to like almost meaningful participation?
An interesting question, in that if you look at the stats just on LinkedIn, is that I think something like 3% of people actively post on LinkedIn. So it would definitely tell you that the rest of the guys are consumers of content. And I find a lot of times that people give me, when they first meet me, they'll tell me, "Oh, I've seen you've posted this or that." And people get familiar with you, even though they do not necessarily know you. And I think there's a two-way street here, in that because I'm a content creator, because I post, and sometimes I do share some personal stuff, and otherwise it's more technical or work-related things or whatever the case is, people get a glimpse of me, but it's myself putting me out there. So I also need to take responsibility from my side of what do I push out? And what is it that I want other people to know and to understand, rather than just getting them a glimpse of everything that I do? So I can limit it. I can play that role in terms of what do I share with the greater public, and people that are closer to me will know some of the rest of it. They will know deeper secrets, and they will get to know the person in totality. But the role that I want other people to see sometimes is almost manipulated, if I can use that, in terms of, or curated almost, to say this is what I want to share about. This is the direction I want to go on LinkedIn. This is the direction I want to go in on YouTube. But it's not the full view of Rudolf. It's not the full view of John, because we do limit it to what we want to put into the public domain. If you look at the other way around on consuming, I must now know as a consumer that the other person probably only posts the things that they want me to know. And from that angle, I can say, I know that you do like food because you keep on posting about food. Maybe you are in the food industry, or maybe you are someone that reviews restaurants as a hobby or something. So you post about that, but it doesn't mean that you are now a chef, or that you are addicted to food, or whatever the case is. It's just a glimpse of what you want to show the person. And we need to understand that it will never be the full view of the other person. And by taking that into account, we can actually know one thing about this person, but we will not know the full person just from this online view, because there's only a limited portion of what they share with us. And I assume the same goes for some of the other things. If you look at relationship building, your role is what I want people to know. But relationships are a lot more tricky through this one-way street. I don't know if you have any tips or things on that, John.
Yeah, I think it's we've mentioned it before in the podcast that your online presence needs to be authentic and reflect who you are in the real life. if there is a big disconnect between what you're presenting, what you're talking about on LinkedIn, or how you're presenting yourself in the media or on podcasts, and then people meet you in real life, that's a big, big problem. Then you've got no authenticity, there's no trust. And I really believe people need to understand that and take that to heart. There are a lot of influencers out there that are wildly popular on TikTok and Instagram and the likes, but they're very ugly and unkind people in real life. They don't want to give you the time of day because for them, it's all about the views and the click and the rate of return on their posts and how much money they make per post and things like that. And they're absolutely not interested in the consumer. They need the consumer, but they're not interested in you. So if you meet some of these people, it's a bit of a disconnect. Oh my word, this person's horrible. Because they just don't care. But I think it's important that, especially you and I that are highly visible on LinkedIn and we attend events and we post about that we are genuine about it. That we don't just talk about, like, you know, myself talking about networking, but then when I meet you, it's all about money, 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 or it's about something else or a pyramid scheme I'm trying to get off the ground or whatever the case may be. So there needs to be a direct link between what you put in yourself, what you're talking about, and also how you behave in public. And I think that's the number one tip. There needs to be authenticity. If you can relate to someone based on their post, that's a good step. But always keep in the back of your mind, like, I haven't met this person yet. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that this is how they are in real life. But when you meet them in real life and you see there's a disconnect, you need to take that as a warning sign. Okay, if someone is being fake about this, what else are they being fake about? And I think, you know, this follows on to our next question, which is, how do we ensure that our engagement with online networks and online social media platforms translate into real world action and progress in our careers and businesses? Because we can have a good role, we can have good relationships, we can be in the right environment. But if we're consuming the wrong content and we have parasocial relationships that are bad for us, that's going to affect our roles, relationships, and environment eventually. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think we need to understand that there's a real world environment and there's this online environment. And like you said now, those two, if there's a disconnect between the two and you are two different people in real life and online, you're definitely going to get caught out at some stage. You can't pretend to be something that you're not online, but when people meet you, you're something different. So I think you've dealt with that quite a bit. But what we also need to understand is that the role of online has become massive. It's so big that we really cannot ignore it. And we probably cannot be everywhere. So you need to focus on engaging in a specific online environments and stick to that. But what I find most interesting is that we need to get to a point where what we present as an online person is not necessarily just what we want other people to know, but that we are actually in a position where we can replicate that over and over and over. And by replicating, I actually mean that you're in a position to be the same person, like you said, but also to be energetic when you meet other people, to be friendly with them. I must tell this story. At the Suits and Sneakers event last year, someone came up to me and greeted me. And I remember the face only from LinkedIn. I remember something about this person, but I didn't know who it was. I didn't know the name, nothing. And the person comes to me and says, "Rudolf, I follow your podcast and I feel like I'm a complete idiot because it's not my style. I don't like to like people presenting themselves to me as if I'm the celebrity. It doesn't work for me." But it happened. The guy comes and I was very friendly with him, and we had a chat for about 5 minutes, and he ended off the conversation by saying, "Rudolf, you're a lot better in real life than online. And you need to elevate yourself a bit on the recordings." And I thought to myself, "Oh, that is, It's the first time someone gave me almost negative feedback on the recordings, and I take that. I think sometimes I frown a lot and I do funny things. But what struck me in the conversation is that he actually thinks that I'm a cool guy now that he's met me, which to me was a compliment. But his intention was really to tell me that I need to up my game a bit on the screen. And I took it, and beginning of the year, I changed the studio at my place a little bit in the background and so on. And he actually sent me a message saying, yo, it's a lot better. It looks better. It works better, whatever else. And I don't disregard the comment, but the point I wanted to make is that I did not come over the same online as in person, although it is not my intention. And I think that we need to get that balance right in being the same everywhere. I do fall over my words when I speak in person or online, doesn't matter. But the fact there is that I can probably work on one or two of my skill set. What gave this person the right or the entitlement maybe to come and talk to me was familiarity. And if you're going to put yourself out on a screen or written text or whatever else, you probably need to know that people are going to come and talk. They're going to comment, and you might not like all of it, but we need to take the good and the bad with it. What I do like about this is that it is two different environments. The online part and the real life is two different environments. What I don't like is the fact that people think they know, they understand you, even though they've probably never met you. And we can work that the onus is on me to make that work. So I need to take responsibility of that content and know in which environment I am actually functioning and curate and drive that process through everything that I do, not just to gain work or to gain a following, but to be the person that I want to be and the improvement that I want to see in myself as well.
No, I think that's a very good example where a parasocial relationship became a real life relationship. You might not have a relationship with the guy that spoke to you, or you've got definitely got a LinkedIn connection. But then it's up, like exactly how you say, it's up to us to take that feedback and to see, okay, how can I improve? Also, we don't have to listen to everyone. I mean, I've had quite random feedback on the podcast or some of the stuff that I've said on LinkedIn. People have said, the podcast is too long. The podcast is too short. I wish you had a 2-hour conversation with Mark Shan. I'm like, okay, but we want to try and get a consistent product. That's why we aim for about 40 minutes a podcast. There are amazing podcasts out there that are 7 minutes long. There are amazing podcasts out there that are 3 hours long. And then the same on LinkedIn posts. People send, oh, that LinkedIn post was great. I wish you could have written 10 more of those. I'm like, okay, but I've got my own strategy. I'm not just doing it for you. I'm doing it for a bit of a wider audience. So people are consuming on a one-on-one basis. They almost think that what you've made is just for them. But we're making this for us, and we're making it for a wider audience. That wider audience includes different people. It includes people that are professionals or business owners, young and old, and everyone in between. So it's impossible to please everybody. And it's for us to take that feedback with a pinch of salt. You're like, okay, I hear what you say. I appreciate that comment. But we're happy with what we're doing. If you feel very strongly about that, then go and do your own thing. Start your own podcast, write your own content the way that you want to write. But don't come and throw us under the bus here. It reminds me always about that quote about the man in the arena. We are in the arena. We are in the arena of podcasting. We're in the arena of being on LinkedIn, of being visible, of attending events, helping people connect better. And it's tough. Sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we mumble our words. We say the wrong thing. We misquote famous people, whatever. But we're trying. We're human. You also make mistakes. I'll sometimes maybe a bit more visible. And it's not for everyone. We're not forcing anyone to consume our content. We'd like it if they do and like and subscribe and everything. But I think it's important to know that, especially for us that are creating content, to see it from, okay, how are the people interpreting it, how they're viewing us in that light? Yeah, and I think that brings into our next question, which is more on the relationship side, which is, how can someone tell if their online connections are truly valuable relationships, or are they just having these superficial interactions that lead nowhere? What is your experience with that, Rudolf?
That's a difficult one. I engage on LinkedIn very specifically with specific people. For instance, like with you, I always go and search for your latest posts, and nowadays they pop up because I've been actively mining them almost on your, from your side, and thus I comment. And there's a few other people that I do the same with that I like to follow. I like what they post, and I go and search them. I go through a bit of trouble, and yeah, the way the algo works is that it now pops up almost immediately, and I can quickly comment on their thing. So I do believe that I have a positive impact on them through that, but also that the content that they do post stirs something within me. It assists me, it drives me forward, and thus I want to be associated with that. The reality is that some of these guys I've never met. I know you well. There's one or two others, I don't want to mention too many names, that I've had Zoom conversations with. There are guys that I work with actively, that I do support in other ways. So that is a real relationship, and it's just an extension almost on the online side. And I think for that, there's real value. There's a value exchange, not just in the posts, but because we are partners in other things, or we work together on some other things, or we are socially friendly with each other outside of the online environment. But then you have these relationships almost. I don't know if I could call it a relationship. That's why I was pausing there. But where you get to know a person through content, posts that they make. And that to me is a lot on YouTube, because it's a one-way street. I can probably comment there, but I don't do that often. People post things, I like it, I follow it, I start engaging with it a bit more. But we don't know each other at all. And the reason I engage with it is because I like the content. I do not necessarily know the person. I do not know if they are completely off the rails or not, but I do like what they produce. And a lot of times, especially for local guys, when that has happened, when that took place, I could drive that towards a real life relationship later on. We would, if I go to the Cape or Joburg or whatever, I'd say, listen, I'm going to be around. Do you have time for a coffee? And 9 times out of 10, most times it's a really good conversation, because we have familiarity firstly, but secondly is we've got something in common. We if he writes stuff about a certain topic, or he has a YouTube channel about a specific topic, and I engage with it, it means that I actually like the topic. I like that content. And when we meet each other then face to face, I'm able to extend from that foundation that we now have, although up in the air, in the cloud, as they say, you can actually go and drive a discussion further, because you've got a bit of common ground. And a lot of times that leads to a few more things. So I think there's definitely a space for the online side to become relationship building going forward. But it's not something that's going to happen overnight. And there's this consistency to it. And you have to engage with the other person. You cannot just consume and then expect to build a relationship from nothing. It's a two-way street. Even online, it's a two-way street. You need to comment. You need to respond. You need to actively participate in this person's journey almost. And then only would you be able to take that off the screen into real life and start building a real relationship. Otherwise, it's just the fantasy. It's just this thing of saying, listen, I know what you're about, but you don't know the person.
I agree with you. I think I've had some interactions with people where they like a post and they immediately send you a DM, hey, John, great post. And then you say thank you. And then they copy paste this random DM. Can I do this for you? I'm like, dude, I didn't open a door to a sales conversation. And it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. It just leaves like, well, now you showed me exactly who you are. And I definitely do not want to meet with you. I do not want to get on the Zoom. And if you're in South Africa or Cape Town, or I definitely don't want to meet with you now, because you've got this ulterior motive. You've done the bare minimum to add value, and now you want to extract value. I've also had like random comments random DMs where people send me something. Hey, John, really like your profile. I can see that they haven't looked at my profile. And I said, can you help me connect with this person? I'm like, that person's on LinkedIn. Why don't you send them a DM? Why did you waste your time sending me a DM? You can send them a DM as well and tell them your story. The best thing that I've found that works is I almost give people some homework. And I was telling a friend about this yesterday. Let's say someone sends me an email or they send me a comment. Hey, John, I'd like to connect and everything. Then I give them homework and I first say, okay, you see what I'm about. I'm very open about how I do things. Send me an email about how you think we can work together or what you'd like to discuss. 5 times out of 10, I never receive an email because it's too much effort. They want a quick sale or they want quick help, but I don't know this person from a bar of soap. If I get that email, then I can be, hey, okay, this is a cool angle. I can think of maybe 2 people to connect you with. Or I can be like, this is interesting. I'd like to know more. I'm happy to jump on a 30-minute Zoom and talk to you about this. I've seen the same on the LACA network, where I've tried to connect with as many people as possible through the LACA network. And some people are jumping on and they want to talk sales and this and that. And other people just want to get to know you. And I think we want to accelerate to the what can you do for me part without who are you actually. And I think that's the danger with these parasocial relationships. People are so desperate to connect, desperate to make their next sale, that they're not actually interested in building a relationship. And you can't build a relationship one-sided. There needs to be a back and forth. There needs to be both people are interested in getting to know each other. You're going on a bit of a business date with this person. Okay, what do you do? How do you do it? And this is who I am, and this is what I'm about, and this is how I roll. And that's a good foundation to be. If it's just a sales call, I didn't want a sales call. I wanted to get to know the person. And I think people miss that over and over and over again. And they're frustrated by LinkedIn, they're frustrated by networking because they don't want to give that value. They just want to extract value. And there's a limit to how much value you can extract by burning your bridges and hurting your network. And I think people still miss this. People still get this wrong, which is quite sad because it's so obvious. It's so obvious to me that you get these takers out there, people that they want to like ambush you, and then they can get quite aggressive or quite disappointed when you don't respond how they anticipated you would respond. You've got to know yourself and what you're about, and you've got to look for the warning signs. If it doesn't feel right, if it feels like an ambush, if it feels like we're not aligned here, we're not on the same page, this is not how I roll, and I'd rather, instead of going down this rabbit hole that's going to lead nowhere with you, I'd rather invest time in the relationships that I want to build. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. Interestingly, yesterday I had a call with someone from the LACA network that you actually introduced just on something completely separate. And he said, but let's have a catch up. We're both in the network. So he set up this Teams meeting. And I, again, was at this client where I'm sitting now. And the power was out. So I had to go and sit in one of the boardrooms. So it was a bit strange, no battery, no cable or nothing. So I told him, listen, if it dies down, I'm sorry, but it's the extent of the battery that I've got left for the day. And he's like, okay, what do you do for the client? So I said, no, I'm an accountant and I do this and that for them. Like, okay, so is that what you do for a living? And then I, in 2 minutes, quickly told him, no, I actually do this predominantly. And I still do a bit of the accounting work as well. And for the next 30 minutes, he quizzed me on exactly how this transaction that I spoke of worked, how the BEE stuff works. And so he quizzed me, and it was almost like a pitch. And I tried to steer out of the conversation, but what came about was that that is what was his pain point. And we took 30 minutes of an hour conversation that turned into a pitch. And it's something that I would never do. I would never do that. But because it just struck a nerve with him, it converted into that. And I mean, a very relaxed conversation after that in terms of what they do and are we both going to be at the launch event and all those things came out. But I had 30 minutes of pitching a concept or an idea that we work on every day to this random new person. But the point I want to make is we had common ground. One, we had the Lekker Network as common ground, and that's why he wanted to meet up. Two is because of the Lekker Network, you and him got speak into a conversation, and he actually then felt, listen, because John referred me, I want to speak to this guy. So this whole thing went full circle a bit. And in actual fact, he knew Jack about me. He knew nothing about me. I knew nothing about him. But because we had something in common, we could have a conversation. It's not going to work that way with everyone, because you cannot assume that by having this social media relationship that you are actually in a position to just talk to this person. Unless he talks to you as well online, there's no relationship. And I believe very strongly in it, that it cannot be a one-way street. And then you assume that it's going to go further. If it's a one-way street only from your side, forget it. There needs to be a bit of conversation before that takes place. And definitely before you start throwing out the sales pitch. John, I wanted to ask in terms of environments, how do you see this online environment impacting us in terms of first limiting us to move to the next level? And then secondly, how can we actually use the online environment to get to know a person in real life?
Yeah, I think there's two ways to look at it. Technology is neither good nor bad. As my wife Judy always says, it's powerful. So it's powerful to be able to connect with anyone on earth. You can find them on LinkedIn, Instagram, a Google search. You can connect with anyone. So there's no excuse not to be able to connect with anyone. But there is a problem when those connections become all that you're about, and you have hundreds and thousands of virtual connections all over the place. And that detracts from your personal relationships with your family and your own team on the ground. And I think you need to strike that balance between investing in virtual relationships and investing in one-on-one face-to-face relationships. And you do need to have face-to-face relationships. I think it's easy to get swallowed up in the environment virtually. I mean, the algorithms are designed to keep you on the platforms longer. You scroll until you find something that you like, that activates the algorithm, and that just gives you more of what you last clicked on or what you spent the most time on. But you can eventually do that to the detriment of your personal relationships. So I think you need to have boundaries in terms of the environment as well. I'm going to spend this amount of time per day on LinkedIn, and I'm going to do and I really want to focus on these one-on-one relationships in person. I think in terms of the environment, the physical environment is when you get to meet people one-on-one, be more interested than interesting. Don't then come and want to rattle off your greatest hits about everything you've done virtually. Rather get to know the other person. Listen, and listen some more, that you can build a genuine relationship and you can test the waters. This is someone I want to be connected to in the real world as well. Or are we just going to leave it as a virtual relationship and both sides are kind of happy with that? Again, it's impossible to meet every single person in person. So we are always going to have maybe parasocial relationships or these cyber relationships. And you need to determine how best to manage it. If it's a cool person to know and there's synergy and there's good vibes both ways, then invest in them, comment on their stuff, send them a DM, share a podcast with them, stuff like that. If it is very one-sided, it might not be anything super negative. It might just be this person is busy, or they're in a different phase of their life, or they're just not as active on social media. If you're very active on social media, again, you might not have a right fit with somebody. So I think you just need to evaluate that on a consistent basis. But then if someone is really cool and you like them, try and meet them in person. Hang out in person, go play golf, go play paddle, go climb Lion's Head. That can then cement your parasocial relationship, your cyber relationship, into a real relationship, and you can hang out. The worst thing for you to do is kind of just sit on the sidelines and not do anything when there is opportunities to connect. So again, like we keep saying, your right place is at this intersection of your roles, your relationships, and your environment. I think the warning here is be aware of what's going on. Be aware of how you're presenting yourself. If you're just being a taker, people are going to figure that out. They're not going to refer you to their friends. They're not going to bat for you on the Lacquer Network or the Suits and Sneakers group. So be aware of that. People are watching and people remember how you made them feel. Yeah, I would just end off with that.
I think for me, what is crucial here is that the right place is the intersection of roles, relationships, and environments. And that is for both face-to-face, in person, as well as relationships online. And I think that we sometimes separate them completely, but the aim should almost be to get the online portions in person. And then you start really engaging a relationship. You cannot be married online. You're not going to sit online to with someone across the world, and that is now your marriage. So the same would go for building these relationships. There's a depth. There's a next level to meeting people in person. And yeah, my key thing here is you cannot expect it to be a relationship if it's only from the one side. So if that communication doesn't take place to both ends, from end to end, it's not a real relationship. It's just a connection, just person that you're interested in. But as soon as that there's a conversation going both ways, then there's the opportunity to go into a real world, a face-to-face, in-person type of relationship. And yeah, I don't think this should be seen as a negative episode, a negative podcast. It's actually a very positive thing in terms of trying to engage with the other person, trying to drive that relationship so that eventually it could be almost a friendship, a relationship in the real world outside of the online environment. So I think there's a lot of value in just driving that process forward for yourself.
No, 100%. And I think people need to be aware of what they are consuming. So look at your parasocial relationships. What podcasts are you listening to? Is it good for your role, your relationships, your environment? Is it something that's adding value to you? If it's not, then get rid of it. Remember, the person you're listening to doesn't even know that you exist. So if you stop listening, they're not going to have a cry about it. There's a ton of wonderful and positive and uplifting content out there. If you're negatively affected by content, maybe that content isn't good for you. And it's not to say you must only listen to stuff that you agree with or consume stuff you agree with. Mike Hancock at an event last year said that it's funny how people only read books that they agree with. He says, what is the point? What is the point in doing that? He likes to have a mix of stuff that he agrees with and doesn't agree with so that you understand both sides of the story. I mean, we've seen this in U.S. politics, and the big divide in terms of the right and the left media and everything like that. It's the same with what we consume, and that definitely has an impact on you, whether you like it or not. It's either reinforcing bad stereotypes or it's giving you a better perspective on how the world works. So I think it's up to us to evaluate these parasocial relationships in 2025 and make the adjustments accordingly.
Very good. Yeah, John, thanks. I think we need to land it there. It's something that I think we can explore further. Even though the terminology is new, the concept is definitely not. And we need to put ourselves in a position where we are not the barrier for other people as well. No, it was a nice conversation. Thanks for having me again. I think there's a lot of things that people can learn from this, but that I need to learn myself as well, and that I need to adapt to and change.
No, excellent, Rudolf. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please like and subscribe to the Right Place Podcast on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts as well. Please connect with Rudolf and I on LinkedIn. You're welcome to send us a DM. Just make sure you do a little bit of homework on who we are and what we're about, and it will be a really, really good start. Rudolf, great as always to chat to you. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next time at the right place.